welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you broadcasts from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, and this hour, a New Year's Eve edition. Later on, a broadcast from the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. But first, it's Sweeney and March with New Year's Eve 1947, heard on that day on CBS.
From Hollywood, the Bob Sweeney and Hal March program.
My uncle saw the Rose Bowl game today.
I'm Hal March. Your uncle saw the Rose Bowl game today?
Yeah, tomorrow he's joining Alcoholics Anonymous.
Bob, please.
From Hollywood, the Sweeney and March program with the songs of the choral group, the music of Lud Gluskin and the orchestra, yours truly, Bob Lamond, and starring Bob Sweeney and Hal March. Now for our weekly visit with the happy Rover boys, Bob Sweeney and Hal March. Yes, there's handsome Hal March, with soft skin as smooth as glass. And a head of thick, wavy hair. Then there's young Bob Sweeney, with thick, wavy skin and a soft head as smooth as glass. As we join the boys now in the house they rent at 24 Orange Avenue, they're discussing their plans for New Year's Eve.
Well, Bob, 1948's just around the corner. Let's really do the town tonight, Rob. Hit all the wild spots. Coconut Grove, Cyril's, Mocambo, the Owl Drugstore.
Well, those are the same places we went to last year, Hal. Except the Coconut Grove, Cyril's, and Mocambo.
Well, those are the spots I should be seen in, Bob. It would help my picture career. Of course, right now, there's the question of money.
Oh, gosh, Hal, don't let that bother you. Listen, I want you to know that whatever I got, you got.
Well, thanks, Bob, but I...
Yes, sir, boy, we're partners, and everything with us is 50-50.
Well, that's... awfully nice of you, Bob, but I've only got $2. What do you got?
We've each got a buck. I'll tell you what, Hal. Let's go to a drive-in movie tonight, huh?
Bob, that's no way to spend New Year's Eve, a drive-in movie. Besides, our car isn't running.
We don't need a car, Hal.
Bob, what fun is there in going to a drive-in movie without a car?
It's more fun watching what's going on inside the other cars, boy.
No, that's not for me. I ought to be seen with big picture people, Bob. I could probably crash a couple of parties in Beverly Hills, and I... No, I haven't got any evening clothes.
Well, I got a tuxedo I could lend you, Hal.
You have a tuxedo? Where is it?
Yeah, it's right here in the closet.
Get it. Let's get a look at it.
I haven't worn it for quite a while.
Let's take a look at it, Bob.
Set up the box of the shelf here. There. Let's open this box, boy. And you
can... Hold up the coat, Bob. Let's have a look at it.
Yeah, okay. I unfold it and... Oh, heck, I forgot about packing those marbles in my tux.
Bob, why didn't you pack your tux in mothballs instead of marbles?
Well, marbles don't leave that awful smell.
Now, stop being silly.
Let's see. Now, where's my bullseye shooter?
The coat looks like it'll fit fine. Let me try the pants on. They may be a little tight around the waist. You're somewhat small. Here we go. Off with the old. Uh-huh. And on with the new. I hope the buttons don't pop.
Off with the new. Pull them on, Hal, and I'll pin them for you.
All right.
There now. Now, you just better try sitting down on them just to make sure.
Yeah, good idea. I'll sit right here and...
Yeah. Oh! Well, what's the matter, Hal?
Just a second. Here.
Oh, I wondered what happened to my bullseye marble.
No tux, no money, no nothing, Bob. Looks like a pretty dull New Year's Eve for us, Bob.
Yeah, and I guess I'm worse off than you are, Hal. I sent my shirts to the laundry, and this old tattered one is the only one I have left.
Oh, what a rag. I'd be ashamed to be seen with you in that.
Oh, don't talk like that, Hal. Gosh, clothes don't make the man.
Well,
but remember, boy, underneath this tattered shirt, you'll find some tattered underwear. Or a woolen, a yard wife.
All right. Oh, somebody's at the door, Bob.
Well, who's there?
I have opportunity, boys. Don't keep me knocking.
Well, come on in.
Well, boys, I'm here to make this the happiest New Year's Eve you ever spent. And right now, you don't even know me from Adam, right?
That's right. Who are you?
Adam Smith. I'm from the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce in charge of public relations. Now, sit down. We're going to have a little talk. And don't forget, the name is Smith. Dot the I across the T. California's the place for me. Here. Take my hat and coat.
Hey, you happen to have an old shirt you're not using?
Bob.
Now then, what does the Chamber of Commerce want with you, you say?
I didn't say anything.
Why not? What's the matter, buddy? Cat got your tongue? Gotta speak up quick. Gotta speak up quick. My time's valuable. It's now 4 p.m. First thing you know, it'll be 6, then 7, then 8, 9, 10, 11, then midnight. Same to you, buddy. Same to you. That's what I came to talk to you about. Investigation of old records at City Hall revealed the amazing fact that this house was once occupied by Peter Burnett, the first governor of California.
Yeah, but...
Now then, on New Year's Eve at the stroke of midnight, it was his custom to raise his window, shout Happy New Year to his pioneer neighbors, and they in turn would echo and re-echo his words, relay them across the countryside until they rolled over the entire area like a giant tidal wave. Now then, tonight we're going to recapture that old pioneer spirit. From this very house in which our first governor lived, you're going to shout Happy New Year, and your neighbors are going to relay those words through the streets until they reach City Hall 1 mile away.
Well...
Now then, on the City Hall... Steps your time. The mayor will echo those words on a coast-to-coast hookup. Then you will be responsible for setting in motion California's Happy New Year greeting to the entire United States. Nay, to the entire world. Well, how does that sound to you?
Would you mind repeating that for you?
Never mind.
In return for your cooperation, you will receive national publicity. Your names will be on the radio, and your pictures will be plastered all over the front pages of every newspaper in the country.
Hush, I...
Now, then, I have to be running along, but you boys will hear from me later on with complete instructions.
Thanks very much, Mr. Smith. Bob, this is just the kind of publicity break I need to get started in pictures. By morning, I'll be getting offers from every studio in Hollywood. I'll be a star. A star, Bob. And I owe it all to you, Mr. What did you say your name was?
Oh, that's Hollywood for you. I made him a star, and already he forgets my name.
Come on, Bob. Let's tell Mrs. Scully about tonight's celebration.
Okay, I'll come on.
So excited.
Hey, but let's make it snappy. She keeps it so hot and stuffy in her room, you can hardly breathe in there.
Well, that's because she's anemic, Bob. Besides, it isn't that bad.
It isn't, huh?
No.
Last time I was in there, the frames of my glasses melted.
Oh, stop exaggerating.
Oh, let me stand in there with bare lenses on each eye.
Never mind.
I felt like two Englishmen.
Cut it out!
Get mighty testy, aren't we?
Bob.
Sorry, old boy. Get on.
All right. Mrs. Scully will cooperate with us tonight. It's very important that...
Come in quickly, boys. I don't want any fresh air to get in.
Boy, you sure have your room nice and cozy, Mrs. Scully.
Yes, it's at my favorite temperature, 130.
Isn't 130 a little too warm, Mrs. Scully?
Maybe, but look how tan I'm getting.
The wallpaper, too.
Well, how's your anemia coming along, Miss Scully?
Not so good, Mr. Marge. The doctor says I have only a little while to live.
Oh, Miss Scully, how long did the doctor give you?
Just 63 more years.
How awful. But then we all have to go.
But you all just got here. Oh, that's one Tom Brenneman told me when he pinned the orchid on my nightgown.
Your nightgown?
I was having breakfast in bed.
Miss Scully, we just stopped by to tell you about tonight's celebration. You see, there's going to be a sort of a monster block party, and we're the...
Party? Oh, my dear departed husband Marvin used to love parties. He was certainly a gay dog on New Year's Eve.
Oh, that's fine, Miss Scully.
Wouldn't go to bed unless I walked him round the block.
It's going to be a wonderful party, Mrs. Scully. We're going to start the whole thing off right from this house.
Yeah, that's right, Mrs. Scully. There'll be confetti, noisemakers, a band, and then his honor...
Marvin used to play in a band.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Every New Year's Eve, the group he was with used to entertain the patients at the state sanitarium for the mentally deficient.
Oh. What was the name of the group, Mrs. Scully?
Psychopathic Sam and his schizophrenic six.
Very, very clever name, Mrs. Scully.
I never missed their act. It was so exciting to watch those six split personalities playing their 12 instruments.
Mrs. Scully, all we want to know is this. Will you stand a few doors down the block and help relay our New Year's greeting to the City Hall around midnight?
Oh, if it's around midnight, I can.
Oh, good.
But I wouldn't be able to be there much earlier. You see, a bunch of us girls are going over to Leona Miller's house for a picture show.
Oh, Leona Miller's having a picture show?
Yes, and it's going to be terribly thrilling. Leona works at a hospital, and tonight she's going to show us some of Ronald Coleman's x-rays.
We better get going, Bob.
Yeah, well, okay, Hal. Well, see you later, Miss Scully.
Yeah, goodbye, Miss Scully.
Perhaps you could join me next week at Leona's. She's having an all-musical program.
A musical program?
Nelson Eddy's appendix is making a personal appearance. Oh.
Bob, do you realize that the publicity we get tonight may be just the break I've been waiting for?
Yeah, but we gotta make sure that everything runs smoothly, Hal. Now, we better give some of the folks in the neighborhood their last-minute instructions.
Yeah, I can almost see it happening, Bob. My picture in the paper. Some smart producers seeing it and calling me down to the studio for a test. Overnight, I'm a star. Oh, look at those headlines, Bob. Hal March bigger at box office than Jimmy Stewart. New star outgrosses Spencer Tracy. March passes Tyrone Power. And then, the most important headline of them all.
Clark Gable joins Mexican baseball team.
I'm trying to be serious, Bob.
Hello, mister.
Oh, it's a little boy who lives in back of us. Hiya, Tommy.
Hello, kid.
Well, what do you have that package, Tommy?
Well, my little girlfriend's giving a party tonight, and I just came from buying the liquor.
Liquor? What kind of liquor do you drink at children's parties?
Boy of distinction root beer.
What's your little girlfriend's name, kid?
Susie Peterson. She was named after her father.
Well, her name is Susie Peterson, and she was named after her father?
Yeah, his name's Peterson, too.
Hey, what do you do at those kids' parties? Could you ever play any kissing games?
Oh, sure. We play hide-and-go-seek.
Well, hide-and-go-seek isn't a kissing game.
That all depends on who you hide with.
Look, kid, maybe you can help us tonight by relaying our New Year's message to the City Hall tonight. Have you got any noisemakers?
Sure, I got a horn right here in my pocket. Want to hear it?
No, thanks.
That's great, kid. All you have to do is stand down the block, and when you hear Mrs. Scully say Happy New Year, you blow your horn, okay?
Okay. And I also have this New Year's Day whistle. I made it myself in shop. Here, I'll blow it for you.
Well, I didn't hear anything at all.
Me neither. What kind of a New Year's Day whistle is that?
It can only be heard by a tall dog with a hangover. So long.
Come on, Tom.
Now, let's get some other neighbors to help us relay our New Year's greeting to the City Hall.
Yeah, all right. I wonder who lives in this house. No name on the door, just a note. It says, do not disturb unless you're the milkman. Strange. Oh, well, knock on the door, Bob.
Okay, Hal. Hello?
You're the milkman, huh?
No, I'm Bob Sweeney. This is Hal March.
He's the milkman, huh?
No, miss.
Well, who cares? Come back when you're a milkman.
And give us a chance to talk. Try it again, but to talk.
You're still not the milkman, huh?
No, ma'am, I...
Well, there's only one...
No, ma'am, I...
Well, there's only one way we can get to talk to her. Here goes.
Yeah?
How do you do? I'm the milkman.
Leave me sour milk, will you?
Oh!
You got any butter?
Look, I'm not really a milkman, miss. I simply said that so I could get a chance to talk to you.
Oh, a wolf. Don't deny it. I can tell you're a wolf by that devilish glint in your eye.
You can?
Sure. Won't you come in?
Oh, thank you. Come on, Bob.
Right behind you, Satan.
Bob.
Pull up some chairs and stand up.
Well, that... Stand up?
I'm painting them.
Oh.
Now, what can you do for me?
Well, it's this way, miss. Your name is...
Mooney. First name, Tingling.
Well, I... Isn't that a rather odd name for a girl, Tingling?
My mother was expecting a phone.
Cute.
So before she got the phone, I was born.
Oh.
Well, what are you, a boy or a girl?
Bob, she's a girl.
Gee, you got good eyes.
You see, we live just three houses down, and at exactly midnight, we're going to open our window and shout, Happy New Year. Now, here's what we want. We want our neighbors to echo our greetings and relay it towards City Hall. Can you help us out?
Sure. And why don't you ask Mr. McGonagall next door? He's got a four-piece band, makes a lot of noise.
Great.
Oh, McGonagall's band? Now, that's a swell idea. So thanks a lot, Miss Mooney.
Oh, it's no trouble at all. I'm always sitting out in my front porch hammock at midnight anyhow.
Well, that's fine, it's a... Why are you always sitting out on your front porch hammock at midnight?
You think the milkman comes around in broad daylight? Huh?
Oh. Bob, is that clock on the mantel synchronized to radio time? It's getting pretty close to midnight,
you know. It's right on the split second, Hal. I better wind it, though, to make sure that it doesn't run down.
Fine.
Get the old key and wind it. Good and tight, boy. You can't wind a clock too tight.
Bob, what happened?
Don't worry, Hal. I'll get the screwdriver and get it fixed in no time at all.
Hello. Hal March speaking.
This is Smith, the Chamber of Commerce. I'm calling from the City Hall, March. How's everything at your end?
Oh, well, we're all set, Mr. Smith. When we raise our window and shout Happy New Year to Mrs. Scully, she'll relay it down the block to McGonagall's banner.
That's fine, March. We've arranged with all the other blocks to take it from there. Why, there must be 50,000 people lining the streets between your house and City Hall. Now, March, I have the rare privilege of introducing you to His Honor, the Mayor.
Mr. March.
This is a great honor, Your Honor.
You realize, of course, that your signal will set in motion the greatest mass celebration in the history of our fair city.
Quiet, Bob. I'm talking to the mayor himself. I understand, Mr. Mayor.
It is now 15 minutes before midnight. Your signal must not be given until exactly 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
Not 11:58, mind you, or 11:59. It's 12 o'clock.
Yes, sir. It's 12 o'clock.
12 o'clock, huh? Happy New Year, Mrs. Scully!
Bob, not yet. Oh, for heaven's sake.
Happy New Year, Hal, old boy.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Stop saying, oh, for heaven's sake. I'll be happy. It's 1948.
Bob, it isn't 12 o'clock yet.
It isn't?
No.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Don't tell McGonagall's banner. Shut up. Hurry.
Okay, Hal.
Oh. Hello?
What's the idea, you bonehead?
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. Wait till I close the window. Now, Mr. Mayor.
Do you realize what you've done? You started 50,000 people shouting Happy New Year like crazy, and it's only 13 minutes to midnight. They're tossing confetti all over the place.
Well, you see, sir, we busted our mantle clock. Now, if you let us synchronize our kitchen clock.
Hold the phone. The sheriff wants to talk to me.
Yes, sir.
Alan, I'm going to go fan quiet her down. Who's on the phone?
The mayor. Pretty mad. Called me a bonehead. He interrupted just when I was going to tell him off. I don't take that kind of talk, not even from the mayor.
Hello, bonehead?
Yes?
Sheriff tells me he's got the mob at this end under control.
I promise you, sir, we won't make the same mistake again.
Why, you better not. I'll synchronize your kitchen clock with mine. There are exactly 12 minutes and 10 seconds ago.
12 minutes and 10 seconds ago.
12 minutes and 5 seconds.
12 minutes and 5 seconds.
It is now exactly 12 minutes to midnight.
I've got it, sir. Goodbye. Bob, the mayor said it is now exactly 12...
It is? Happy New Year, Mrs. Scully!
No!
Happy New Year! Merry 48!
Happy New Year, old hell!
Bob. It's 12 minutes to midnight.
That's silly, Al. If it was 12 minutes to midnight, McGonagall's band wouldn't... Well, you can hear them. They're just as plain. I'll be right back, Al.
Oh, now we're really in for it. Oh, better shut the window. Uh-oh. Hello?
Bonehead?
Yes?
We're running a little short on confetti now.
Who's calling?
Jess. I'll give you a clue. I'm a public official.
Governor of the state?
No, mayor of the town.
Well, I can't talk to you now, Lionel. So long, kid.
Listen, you. The sheriff just signaled he's getting them under control again. But if that mob starts off once more, there'll be absolutely no stopping them, understand?
Yes, sir. I've got it.
Hey, I got McGonagall's band.
Shut up!
Oh, man!
No. I was talking to
talking to Sweeney, Mr. Mayor. He's the one who accidentally started the false alarm.
Well, tell that nincompoop there are still 11 minutes to go. The starting time is midnight. Midnight!
Mr. Mayor, you better tell him yourself, sir. Take the phone, Bob.
Okay.
Hello, nincompoop?
Speaking.
Listen, the time is midnight.
It is?
Oh, brother.
Happy New Year, Hal. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Hey, aren't you going to wish me a Happy New Year, boy?
Not for 11 more minutes, Bob.
That's silly, Hal. Why should you wait 11 minutes if McGonagall's band is playing like mad and the people are shouting in the streets and you... Hal, you mean?
Yes, Bob.
I'll be right back, boy.
Oh.
Darn that phone.
Shut up. I'm not going to answer you. Just ring once more and I'll rip you out of the wall. Twice more. Now that you know who's boss, shut up.
Hal, I got some quiet...
Bob, will you answer the phone, please? I'm afraid it's the mayor.
Well, sure, I'll answer it, Hal. But first, you just pick up the receiver and say hello, huh?
Well, that seems fair. Hello?
What's the idea?
Bob, you always trick me into these things.
Listen, you. With the aid of the riot squad, we're getting the mob under control. This time, there must be no slip-up, understand?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, it won't happen again, sir.
Now, synchronize our clocks. The time is now exactly 11:50.
That's exactly what it says on our kitchen clock, Mr. Mayor. I can see it from here.
Yeah, I'll go get the clock.
Good.
Just make one more mistake, Mr. March. And I hate to think what'll happen to you boys. Goodbye.
Here's the clock, Charlie. 11:50.
I know. Keep your eye on it, Bob. This time, I'll give the signal to Mrs. Scully and there'll be no mistake.
All right.
Bob, we've been waiting so long. Isn't it midnight yet?
Not yet, Hannah. Don't worry. I've got the old eagle eye on a clock, boy. A dependable clock, too. It's electric.
Bob, what's that you're holding in your right hand?
Well, this is a plug from the electric clock, pal. When I pulled it out of the socket in the kitchen, I...
You! Thousands of people waiting for us to signal the new year, and you've been keeping time with a clock that's not running. Oh, why hasn't the mayor called us?
I took the receiver off the phone so he wouldn't be disturbed.
Oh. Put it back!
Gosh, I wonder what time it is now. Hello?
When you hear me shout, you idiots, the time will be exactly 1 a.m. You idiots!
Synchronize our clock, Alice. 1 a.m. Don't worry, Mr. Mayor. We're all set now.
That's fine. With whom am I speaking, please? Is this nincompoop or bonehead?
This is nincompoop, sir.
Let me talk to bonehead.
Listen.
Take it, Hal.
Thanks, Bob. Bonehead speaking.
Well, thanks to you boys, 50,000 people are still waiting to welcome in the new year.
Oh, accidents will happen, Mr. Mayor. Frankly, I only consented to this scheme because I thought it might be a means of launching my picture career anyway.
Well, despite all that's happened, Mr. March, I am going to do everything in my power to get you into pictures.
Well, thank you.
And very soon.
That takes care of the front view, Mr. March. Now turn your head sideways. I'll want a profile picture, too.
Oh, watch the birdie, Hal.
Yeah, I'll watch the birdie, Hal.
All right, Warden.
Sweeney and March, on Tune to Two Yesterday, from December 31st, 1947 on CBS. That would be their final New Year's Eve program, wrapping up in October of 1948, after being on the air since July of 46. New Year's Eve programs on this hour of Tune to Two Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. Now time for the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show, from December 31st, 1950, on NBC.
From Hollywood, the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show. We For your enjoyment, here is the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Scharf in his music, yours truly, Bill Forman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Tonight, throughout the world, millions of people are ushering in the new year. Some are celebrating it with their families, some are going to nightclubs, and others are spending a quiet evening at home with a few intimate friends. The latter is the case with Phil's and Alice's sponsor, Mr. Scott. As we look in, Mr. Scott and his wife are checking their guest list.
Are you sure you took care of all the invitations for our party, Clyde?
Yes, I did, Myrtle. I mailed an invitation to the Bennets, the Peppers, the Newroths, and the Ackmans.
How about the invitation to Phil Harris?
I dropped that down the sewer like we planned.
Oh, you didn't, really?
No, no, I mailed him an invitation. I sent it to Phil Harris, 176 Spruce Street, Kansas City, Missouri.
But Clyde, Phil Harris lives in Encino, California.
Know what I'm doing every minute.
Well, you shouldn't have done it. I'd like very much to have Mrs. Harris here.
So would I. She's a lovely person.
And Mr. Harris isn't such a bad sort.
No, no, I guess he's all right if you can stomach that sort of thing. I really don't mind Harris so much, but I just can't stand that ghoul that's always with him.
Ghoul? Oh, of course. Mr. Remley.
Do me a favor, Mert. The next time we're having a party, don't put Harris's name on the guest list.
Well, don't blame me. You're the one who mentioned the party to him, and I felt obligated to send an invitation.
Oh, well, I'd better go up and put my tuxedo on. The guests will be arriving in an hour.
Well, don't upset yourself about Mr. Harris. He won't get the invitation, so he won't be here.
Let's have a drink to that.
I don't want to stay home on New Year's Eve. It's 7 o'clock already. Let's plan to go someplace.
Now sit where you are. We're not leaving this house until we get an invitation to Mr. Scott's party.
But Phil, you've been expecting it all week. You've been sitting around in your tuxedo since Tuesday.
Don't exaggerate. I only put it on when I got up this morning.
What makes you so sure you're going to be invited?
Oh, I saw Scotty the other day and he told me about the party and practically invited me.
What do you mean, practically invited you?
Well, I happened to be in his office the other day, and I peeked over his shoulder and saw him making out his guest list. And I said, I don't see my name on there. And he said, it ain't because you're nearsighted. And I laughed, and he laughed, and, well, it's obvious.
What's obvious?
He didn't say I shouldn't come. Alice, I know he's inviting us. There must be an invitation in the mail.
But it's Sunday. There's no delivery today.
Well, then he'll send us a telegram.
You've been calling Western Union all day and there's no message for you.
Well, he'll find some way to get in touch with us.
Look out the window. Maybe he's sending up smoke signals.
Well, if it isn't my favorite brother-in-law, Tallulah Fayhead.
Stop kidding yourself, Philip. Mr. Scott is not going to invite you. He doesn't want you at his party.
He doesn't want me? No. Are you kidding, Baxter? I make any party I go to. And if you don't believe me, ask any member of the Musicians Union. I'm known as the Pearl Mesta of Local 47.
Poor Alice. She hasn't been invited any place since she married you.
Now, what are you talking about?
When Alice was a star in pictures, she was invited everywhere. She had a date with one of her leading men every night. Men like Thomas Meehan, Wallace Reed, and Lou Cody.
Not to mention J. Warren Carrigan and Snub Pollard.
How about William Farnham and Richard Bothell?
All right, already. That was before my time.
Look, Willie, Alice gets to go out plenty since she married me. Maybe we don't go out with the movie crowd, but we get a lot of invitations from my friends. Only last week, we attended a formal three-cushion billiard exhibition at the home of Side Pocket Sam.
Side Pickpocket Sam.
That's right. He's the Beverly Hills socialite and schnooker expert. And a lovely party it was, wasn't it, Alicia?
Oh, yes. Yes, especially the dinner. I asked a man at the head of the table to pass me the meatballs.
What happened?
He chalked up, broke them, and everybody got one except me.
Alice, I'm sure that Mr. Scott would... Uh-oh, maybe that Scotty came over to invite us personally. I'll get it. Hiya, Scotty, we'll be glad to come to you. Oh, it's you, Remley. How are you?
Oh, my poor head. I'll never do it again. I'll never touch another drop as long as I live. Oh.
Well, you kicked off early this year, huh, Bob? You must feel terrible.
No, I feel great.
Then what are you doing?
Practicing for tomorrow morning.
Well, why do you have to say it tonight?
Because I ain't going to be in no condition to remember it tomorrow.
What are you doing tonight, Frankie?
That depends. What are you doing?
I'm going to a party at Mr. Scott's house.
That's good enough for me.
Frankie, you haven't been invited.
What's that got to do with it? I haven't been invited to some of the best parties I ever attended. I'll be glad to go with you, Curly.
I'll be glad to have you go, except for one thing. I haven't been invited yet either.
Oh. Well, in that case, I'll have to go without you. I'll call you tomorrow morning and let you know how it was.
Hello, Frankie.
Oh, hello, Alice. I hear you're going to Mr. Scott's party.
No, I'm not. I haven't been invited.
I know more people that haven't been invited to this party. Mr. Scott hasn't asked anybody. I wonder if he asked Mrs. Scott. I just can't understand why he didn't ask me.
Frankie, after the way you behaved at Mr. Scott's last party, you will never be invited to his house again.
Why? What did I do?
When you were leaving, you grabbed Mrs. Scott, swept her into your arms, bent her over backwards, and kissed her on the lips.
That was an accident. I thought she was the maid. Well, if we're going to Scott's, let's go, huh?
We're not going. Phil, let's make a reservation someplace, huh?
Okay, okay. Where do you want to go, honey?
How about Ciro's? That's where we spent our first New Year's Eve together. Do you remember?
Yeah. Yeah, that was 10 years ago. Gee, it was romantic. The moon was bright. The band was playing softly.
And you were singing our song, The Thing.
It wasn't the thing, and besides, you were the one that was singing to me. You were singing that beautiful ballad that I taught you. The marching song of the Confederate Army. Look, honey, if we're going to Ciro's, you better go up and get ready.
Okay, honey, I'll be right down.
Hey, Curly, why spend a lot of money at Ciro's when we can go to a free party at Scott's house?
Look, Remley, for the last time, I keep telling you, we didn't get an invitation.
You give up too easy. Maybe the man's been trying to get you on the phone and can't. Why don't you call him?
Yeah. Yeah. The least I can do is call and find out if he's been trying to get me.
Sure.
Huh? Give me that phone.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to invite myself. I'm just going to find out if he's been trying to reach me.
Hello?
Hello. Is Mr. Scott there?
Speaking. Who's this?
This is Phil Harris.
So, Sally, you have a long number. This, jingly longly.
Last time I called him, he was a German delicatessen. I wouldn't mind so much, but his dialects are so lousy. Now, look, Mr. Scott, I know it's you, and I'm going to keep calling you until you run out of those corny dialects.
Oh, nuts, he's got me. What do you want, Harris?
Well, I just heard you've been trying to get in touch with me all day. Is that right?
No, it isn't.
Well, let me put it this way. The operator just called me and said that you've been trying to reach me on the phone since early morning.
The operator said that?
Yes, she did.
when you call her back and tell her she's a big, fat liar. What's on your mind, Harris?
Well, Mr. Scott, being it's New Year's Eve, I thought that maybe you and Mrs. Scott would like to go out with Alice and me.
We can't. We're having a party.
You are? Well, there's nothing like having a party and inviting your friends over to the house, I always say. Yes, sir. That's what I always say, and I wonder how long I'm going to have to keep saying it before he takes it.
Harris, I don't know what you're talking about.
Brimley, he ain't taking the hint.
You ain't handling it right, Curly. Let me talk to him.
Okay, but be subtle about it.
Yeah, yeah. Hello, Mr. Scott. This is Frankie Remley.
What a disgusting way to start a conversation. What do you want, bunghead?
That's no way to talk to a man who's going to be a guest at your house tonight.
Remley, listen to me and listen closely. I'm having a nice, quiet gathering for a few intimate friends. You are not included in my plans. I want no part of you. And if you dare come within 100 yards of my place, I'll cut you down with a high-powered elephant gun.
Just for that, I got a good mind not to show up.
What did he say, Frankie? What did he say?
He's begging us to come now. Oh, yeah. All right, Mr. Scott, we'll all be over in an hour, and thanks for the invitation. Goodbye, Scotty.
Hello, Remley. Hello, hello. Remley, I tell you, I don't want you... Oh, well, if he shows up, I can always poison his drink.
Oh, dear. Why, Clyde, you look terribly upset. What's wrong?
Brace yourself, Myrtle. I have terrible news for you. We're on the brink of disaster.
Oh, Clyde, don't tell me the stock market crashed and you're wiped out.
Oh, if it was only that simple. This is much worse. Remley is coming to our party.
Oh, no. Well, what are we going to do?
I don't know. He's on his way over now, and I... Myrtle, do you think we can pack and be ready to move in an hour?
Don't be ridiculous. Why don't we just turn the lights out? If he thinks nobody's home, he'll go away.
Not Remley. He'll break in.
Well, he's never been here. Maybe he won't find the place.
No, the Harrises have our address, and they... Wait a minute. They may have our address, but they've never been to the house. If I could take the number off our house and put it on Mr. Sweeney's house...
But, darling, Mr. Sweeney's the sheriff.
Yes. I can't think of a better house for Mr. Remley to break into. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll get busy changing numbers.
All right, dear. And just in case he happens to find our house, I'll make preparations for his arrival. I'll lock up the silverware and I'll have the guests put their valuables in the wall safe.
And put my elephant gun in the vestibule.
Hey, Alice. If you're all ready, we can start going over to the Scotts.
Phil, are you sure Mr. Scott invited us?
Oh, he was very insistent, wasn't he, Frankie?
Oh, yeah. He said he'd be very hurt if we didn't show up. He threatened to shoot himself with an elephant gun.
So come on, Alice, let's hurry, let's go.
All right, if you... Phil, what have you got under your arm?
My music. When I'm called upon to sing, I want to be prepared.
How do you know the Scots will ask you to sing?
Oh, doll, how can you talk like that? They're sure to ask me to sing, but in case they don't, I'll suggest it. I'll ask Mr. Scott if he wants me to sing, and before he has a chance to say no, I'll be into the song like this. Young Johnny Jones, he had a cute little boat, and all the girlies he would take for a float. He had girlies by the score, sweet little peaches on the shore. But Johnny was a Weisenheimer, you know. His steady girl was Flo. And every Sunday afternoon, they'd jump in his boat and they would spoon. And then he'd row, row, row. Right up that river he would row, row, row. A hug he'd give her, then he'd kiss her now and then. She would tell him when. He'd fool around, and then he'd kiss again, and then he'd row, row, row. A little further he would row, just he and Flo. With her head on his chest, he'd take a few measures rest, and then he'd row, row, row. In Johnny's boat he had a cute little seat, and all the kisses that he stole were so sweet. And he knew just how to row. He was a rowing Romeo. He had an island where the trees were so grand. He knew just how to land. Then tales of love he'd tell to Flo until it was time for them to go. And he'd row, row, row. On up that river he would row so slow. A hug he'd give her, then he'd kiss her now and then. She would tell him when. He'd fool around, and then he'd kiss her. A little further he would row, just he and Flo. Then he'd drop both his oars, take a few more encores, and then he'd row, 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 just he and Florence. Row, row, row right into heaven. Row, row. He had no Johnson motor, so Johnny and Flo would row, row, row. Hey, Alice, we ought to be pretty close to Scotty's house now. What was his number again?
1300.
Well, I'll drive slow and you watch the numbers, Remley.
Okay. Let's see, this is 751, 753, 755, 1300. There it is.
I don't get this. There's something wrong.
Well, what's wrong? I thought we did that very good.
Well, the numbers jumped from 755 to 1300, and an even number on the odd side of the street.
Well, you know Beverly Hills. They gotta be different. Come on, let's get out, huh?
Hey, Bill, I don't see any lights in the house. If they're having a party, why are the lights out?
Maybe they're necking.
If they are, I get first crack at the maid.
Wait a
minute. Oh, Phil! Phil, look, there's a police car in the driveway.
A police... Hey, Remley, did the cops know you were coming to this party?
Don't be a wise guy. They're not here for me. Must be Mr. Scott's parole officer.
Yeah. Well, come on, let's hurry in. Boy, I can't wait to get started in that
now,
party.
Now, look, fellas, I want you to behave yourselves because the...
Pardon me, could you tell me where to find a Scott's house? I got some... Oh, hello, Mr. Harris.
Hey, it's Julius. Hey, right in here, kid. Hey, old Jill, huh? Don't tell me you were invited to this party, too.
Nah, I'm just making a delivery. I got 4 cases of drinks for the Scott's party.
Hey, around. Hey, Lefty, did you hear that? 4 cases of this stuff.
Yeah, 2 for each of us.
Hey, what kind of stuff did they order, kid? Old whipping post or tiger's breath?
Better than that.
What could be better? Now, what did they order, kid?
Cherry pop, cream soda, and celery tonic.
Oh, I could see we're in for a gay time.
I hope we're not too late for the first minuet.
Julius, why are you wearing a tuxedo?
Well, this is my last delivery. I'm going to a party from here. You know, this is the first time I ever wore a tuxedo. How do I look in this monkey suit?
Like a monkey?
Bill, I think he looks very cute. Do you have a date tonight, Julius?
Yeah. And guess who I got a date with?
I don't know, but I'll bet she's the best-looking camel in Beverly Hills.
She's not a camel, but you're close.
That's no way to talk about a girl you're dating.
Well, I didn't want to date her. It's my cousin. My mother's making me take her out.
Oh, what does she look like?
Oh, you ought to see her. Oh, is she a girl? Is she a girl? That's the first question everybody asks.
Julius, if you don't like the dame, what are you taking her out for?
She's got money. She's a debutante.
Oh, a society girl. Is her name in Who's Who?
No, but they got a picture in Watch This. Well, I better get this stuff into Mr. Scott's.
Yeah, we better get in that party, too, before it's all over. Come on.
Now, Frankie, watch your manners tonight. Don't do what you did at the last party we took you to.
What did I do wrong? All I did was drink champagne out of a lady's slipper.
I know, but you're not supposed to go around measuring which one has the biggest foot.
Hey, nobody answered yet. Ring the bell again.
Phil, this is very strange. There are no lights on, nobody answers the door. Are you sure we have the right house?
Certainly. This is number 1300. Maybe they're in another room and can't hear us. I'll try that door. Uh-oh, it's locked.
Step aside, I'll get us in.
Frankie, if the door's locked, how are you going to get us in?
Fortunately, I brought my axe. Stand back, everybody.
Frankie, you can't batter the door down.
Oh, don't be so formal.
Phil, I think maybe we ought to go home.
Honey, we can't do that. If we don't show up, the Scots will be insulted. Now, what was that?
I don't know. I just happened to lean against the window with my axe and the pane splintered.
Cheap glass.
I guess so.
Well, look, as long as the window's broken... Hey, Julius, as long as that window's broken, why don't you crawl in that front door for us, huh?
Okay.
Phil, I don't think we're doing the right thing.
Please, Alice, let us handle this. They were nice enough to invite us to the party. The least we can do is to make an effort to get in.
Okay, the door's open. Come on in. Now watch your step.
Phil, I don't like the looks of this. The room is pitch dark.
Mr. Harris, did the Scots know that you and Mr. Rimley was coming?
Yeah.
Maybe it's a booby trap.
Well, I'm going to turn the light on.
Hey, this is a nice room. And look what's on the desk.
What?
A gun, a pair of handcuffs, and a sheriff's badge.
Isn't that cute? Scotty's playing hoppy again.
Oh, there's the doorbell. Must be some more of the guests. Come in.
Why, it's Mr. and Mrs. Scott.
Oh, Mrs. Harris, thank goodness we got here in time.
In time, she says? You're 2 hours late for your own party.
Yeah, where have you been, Mrs. Scott?
Mr. Harris, my husband has a confession to make. Go ahead. Tell them, Clyde.
Oh, very well. Harris, I did something tonight that my wife tells me I'm ashamed of. You see, this house we're in isn't...
All right, everybody, stay where you are and put your hands up.
Mr. Sweeney!
What are you people doing here?
Look, Mr. Sweeney, I can explain this.
Don't move or I'll put a hole through you.
Yes, sir.
Don't let him bluff you, Scotty. Jump him and take his gun away.
If he tries it, I'll shoot him.
I'd like to see you. You can't talk that way to our boss.
The boss, huh? So, you're the leader of this mob.
Now, wait a minute, Mr. Sweeney. I happen to be a respectable citizen of this community. Surely you've seen me around?
Yes, and I always figured a guy with a face like yours couldn't make his money honestly.
Don't you dare talk to my husband that way!
Tell Mob Barker to button her lip.
You can't scare us. Let's rush him, Rimley.
Yeah, we'll take him apart.
You two take one step and I'll plug
you. You mean if these guys take one step, you'll kill them?
Yeah.
Mr. Rimley, Mr. Harris.
What?
On your mark, get set, go!
Julius, stop pushing!
Get away from us. Come on, Rimley, let's take him.
Don't do it, Harris. You're making a mistake.
You hit him high, Rimley. I'll hit him low.
Harris, it's the sheriff!
That was quite a brawl.
Certainly was. You two fellas are the
worst...
Oh,
honey, now don't be a sorehead. It was all in fun. After all, it's New Year's Eve and you... Hey, it's 12 o'clock. It's the New Year. Happy New Year, everybody. Should old acquaintance be forgot and never...
Hey, you!
What?
No singing in the patrol wagon.
Oh, Sheriff, don't be a wet blanket. It's New Year's Eve, and it's a happy occasion, and everybody wants to sing. Alice, Frankie, Julius, and how about you, sir?
Don't talk to me, Harris. A man of my importance in a patrol wagon. This is the first time a thing like this has ever happened to me.
Oh, no, it isn't, Clyde. Don't you remember the time they raided that burlesque show and you were...
Oh, button your lip, Ma!
Come on, everybody. Let's all be happy and sing. Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of auld lang syne? For auld lang syne, my dear, for auld lang syne, we'll take a cup of kindness yet for auld lang syne. Well, tonight the old year goes out and the new one comes in. Let's all hold fate for this new year that the way for peace will be found. But if not found, let America be strong and not be found wanting.
Stay tuned for Hedda Hopper, then Theater Guild on NBC.
The Phil Harris Alice Faye Show on Tuned to Yesterday from December 31st, 1950 on NBC. And that brings the curtain down on this hour of Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Happy New Year.